Hey, it's Brie Bagwell with your OnlyFans Breecap, and Kylie Fry is one of my absolute favorite singer-songwriters. She has unbelievable delivery. If you can see her live, you got to do it. This new mama has a publishing deal at Carnival in Nashville. That's a big deal with producer Mr. Frank Liddell himself, who, fun fact, is married to Leanne Womack. In this convo between two gal pals, I finally get the story behind BillysBoudin.com to order her family's Boudin operation. We dive into imposter syndrome, Kylie's new EP, Half a Mind, and our girl, Tori Touye, that works at my PR team, Richland Group, who let us record this episode in the Martin Guitar Room surrounded by gorgeous guitars. Like the true cowgirl that she is, Kai Fry is honest, tough, and full of grit and grace. Check out our music video and duet of Girls Just Want to Have Fun and all things Kylie Fry at KylieFrey.com. Big time apologies about the audio. It's not awful, but the actual microphone audio was literally swallowed by a MacBook and lost to eternity. Enjoy.
I've always like had this little like dream at the back of my mind that like maybe like me, you, and Caitlin would like start a band called like, oh, what was the name?
Okay.
It was because we're not, none of us
so from in Texas. Yeah. Okay.
Not the Outlaws. It was something else. Maybe the Outsiders or something like that.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because like, it's like, we're all like working the scene. It's like, Caitlin is like hitting the big time. So we might have to find another thing.
But me and you.
Perfect.
I love that idea.
And I had a great day.
I know.
Hey, everybody, this is Brie Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Yeah, hers isn't red.
They're both recording. Hers is on the other side.
Oh, I see. Okay. Listen, Kyle, I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm going to just...
That's why Kyle's here. Because...
We love Kyle.
Kyle, we love you. We don't know what we're doing. We're just tiny women. With our small hands.
I'm just a girl.
I'm just a girl.
I just want to be... like, Paul was... right when I was leaving, he was about to go for a run. And it's like... he can go for a run... and then shower and be ready.
And be ready.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's hair, it's makeup.
I know.
And you always look like an... like, how'd you learn how to do makeup so good? Your makeup is... Yes.
Wait. Oh, thank you.
Yes, you.
Thank you.
But you do a really good job at makeup.
I will say, I hate doing my hair.
Yep.
That is my downfall. By makeup, my sister is a cosmetologist.
Okay.
She had a best friend in high school who is a wonderful hair and makeup girl. And I would watch them.
Okay.
So I've always been better at, like, I love doing my makeup. I like, it's like an art form a little bit. I love it and hate it. Like, if I have time and a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay.
It's like, it's just, it's downtime for me. And it just makes me feel so good. My hair, I wish I could shave it bald and still look good.
Me, I despise hair too.
That's why I wear hats.
Yeah, and I forgot my hat, so I was like, and
you should. I brought you one.
I thought about it like too late because you pulled up and I was watching you through the window to see, and you had your hat on, and I was like, oh my gosh, I totally could have asked you to bring me a hat.
I had so many hats I could buy.
And then I don't fly with a baseball hat because they get crushed, so I don't process. I just met with the manufacturer on a Zoom. I was like, can you make me this plastic piece? Like, I want to invent it and sell it. You know, just I would put it in there. That's what I said.
I would buy that.
They were a little expensive. So if you're a plastic manufacturer and you want to talk.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Perfect. But, I love it. I love it.
But I did want to ask you about your makeup because you always look amazing. And also, though, you have mastered the braid moments with your hair, which I think is like a good, if you don't like doing hair, a braid moment looks great.
Braid is good.
Braid is good.
Yes. I haven't done braids. So, you know, I'm still extra fluffy since I've had the baby. And it makes, you know. So anyway, I haven't done the braids recently. The braids are very easy to just toss in. And it's all because I hate doing makeup.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that because I feel crazy sometimes because I just despise doing my hair and makeup so much that, like, because it's a lot of time. So I've mastered the art of doing it while in the car, while I'm riding somewhere, not while driving. but I'm pretty good at doing it.
I've seen like a video of you doing that. I was like, what the hell? How does she do this?
I'm a psychopath. Like, I can't, because it makes me feel like, well, I'm already in the car. It's already time that's,
yeah,
has to be spent. So I can do it while it's moving. So I'm actually worse at makeup when I'm sitting still.
Oh, finally.
Anyway, we don't have to talk about makeup. There's many religious podcasts.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
No, they're fine. We talk about nerdy stuff like petals and stuff all the time, so they can deal with makeup talk for a little bit.
Yeah.
How's mommy life?
It's going. It's like we truly take it day by day.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. But he's so cute.
Thank you.
He just had his first birthday.
He did.
Yeah. That was a cute theme and everything.
Thank you.
And I love it so much because, you know, you should be able to have a career to baby as a female musician and you're like thriving and killing it. And that's like how it should be.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it feels like it needs to be one or the other, and it does not need to be one or the other.
Like, well, I think we're just kind of like, it was ingrained in us that like you can't have both, yeah. You know? And like I was never a girl that like dreamed about her wedding or like, you know, like planned her kids' names or anything like that. Like that just, I don't know, just wasn't me. And so I never even really thought about it. But like when it happened, I was like, oh, I have to move home and maybe I should have gotten some form of degree because I can't do music now. Like, you know, it's like that was what was so heartbreaking about finding out that I was pregnant was like, oh, well, life as I know it is over and I have to choose a completely different career.
And it's not true. And it's like, no, it's not true. And but also it would be fine if you did, but it's sure also fine if you don't. And like, I don't know. I just think it's like that baby is going to grow up watching a mom chase her dreams. Like,
exactly.
That's, yeah, there's nothing better than that.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad. Did you buy the RV yet?
I know. I did not. I still have my van. And when I really do get back to like full-blown touring, I'm going to have to, because I want to keep it with me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really want to pass them off too much. So, yeah.
I don't remember if I told you this or not, but I couldn't wait to tell you, but I was like, if I didn't tell you, I'm going to tell you on the podcast. But okay. So Kylie and I played a show together and she said, I want to go look at my RV to see you about it. And I was like, yeah. So I had told Ashley there was a weird smell in there. And so we went and bought stuff to pour down the sink drain. And we were kind of like, whatever. And then you went and you got in there and I was like, I do not know what's happening. Like there's a smell. And I apologized. And you're like, it's fine. And I was mortified.
I don't remember there being a smell.
That's so nice.
I'm
reminding you. It was bad. So then the next day, Ashley's talking to me and I'm watching her eyes and all of a sudden she goes like this. The sun hit the microwave. One of the boys had put their food in the microwave.
Left it.
So that was why every time I passed the sink, I was like assuming that it was like in the sink. And it was then, but I can, anyway. So that was what I was wrong.
Well, listen, we grew up with horse trailers and we had a motorhome.
Right.
And now I'm a fan and life. We've dealt with all the things that come with owning a motor vehicle.
Right. Yes. You totally know. You get it. And that was one of the things I wanted to talk to you about because I told you.
I really don't remember there being a smell at all.
Sorry about that. But I've seen you riding full blown on a horse and tackling ghosts and stuff. So like
we're fine.
I love you writing songs about horses and cowgirls and everything and like actually being a authentic cowgirl, not that I'm calling people out, but I think that's like, it's so fun to watch you do those things. So,
well, I feel like such an imposter now.
What?
Like, no. I do. I really do. Because it was like, you know, my whole life growing up until I was 18. And then I was like, well, this is awesome. I can play music and make money. Like, sign me up. And then, like, you know, my heart just kind of switched shut. But, like, you know, it's been a good over 10 years since, like, I was actively rodeoing. And so to sing about it now, I don't know.
No, you're the most qualified.
It's so funny.
About it.
It's so funny because I'm like, I feel like a poser sometimes. But yeah, and it's like, it's so weird because like when I first moved to town, I just had like all rodeo songs. You know, it's what I knew.
Yeah.
Like, and people like in the industry were just like, that's great, but can you write about something else other than rodeo? And like, it was just kind of like a not cool. And now it's like every single country song that is coming out is something with cowboy or horses, or it's just like
Cody Jones is an ass, is like act in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so I'm like, oh, I just kind of was a little ahead of my time.
I feel like my timing with Nashville is always off. Like when I got here, I was, I think when I had my deal, I was, I think 25, and they were only signing like 15-year-olds. That's when I got here. Like I was too old when I got, so I feel like I was late to that party. And then
it's so funny to hear you say you were 25 and you felt like you were too old.
They were telling me, I mean, like they told me I was too old in three different label meetings. And then now I'm like 10 years older than that, you know, so then it's like,
yeah,
now I feel like I miss that. And then they are kind of like the tractor songs and stuff. I feel like I barely miss a lot of things, but yeah. We talk about, I mean, I was just talking about it with my friend Helene Cronin, how she feels like her timing has also been a little off, but at the same time, it's, she's doing great, I'm doing great, you're doing great. Like, you're, it's just how you feel.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it's
exactly
true. Like, yeah. It's all also like perfect timing.
Really. Yeah, exactly. And somebody from the outside looking in is like, we have no idea.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And they would kill to have like shows like we have.
For sure.
And
yes.
Bands like we have.
Yes.
Yes.
I have to remind myself that like when I'm having like a hard time with the music business, I'm like, but Kylie 10 years ago would be stoked. She would be so pumped.
And you get to do all the cool NFR stuff and like all your opportunities have been amazing, and I'm just always so proud of you. Like, I love you writing your records. I don't want to say, I wrote it in my notes, like, do not gush over her. Old time.
Wait, well, last time I interviewed you, we just gushed over your
and I was like, well,
it's great.
It's easy to do. It's so easy to do. And if you haven't heard our version of Girls Just Want to Have Fun,
yes,
that song was already great, and I didn't really think it needed anybody else, but that was so nice to call me. We're like, come sing this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you crushed it. You were just like, give me a bottle of whiskey, and I just kind of like...
Yeah, I had almost lost my voice. That was at Nashville has different allergies in Texas, and sometimes I'll fly here, and I'll immediately be like, what is happening?
Yeah, we're in a bowl.
Right.
Yeah, and so it's like, some of the best singers in the world are in this town. It's like one of the worst places to be for allergies.
Yeah, it immediately affects me. So I was like, can you give me some whiskey? and then we got to make a music video for it in Key West, which was really cute. And we just got to hang out all day, which was my favorite part.
Yeah.
You should go watch that video because that was like, do you do music? I haven't done music videos since then.
I haven't either.
Because...
Is it how to start? It's all just been like short form content, which like I love a good music video. Like
me too. You know,
we grew up on them, like on CMT
Countdown.
Yeah, but it's almost like if you can't like do like a movie, then it's like
right,
kind of what's the point a little bit?
Right, you might as well only do a minute long.
Yeah,
clips.
Yeah,
I know, but I want to do one so bad because I love the planning of it. I love it's so fun, and I worry that that's a lost art. So I was like, just do it. And I was like, well, it's expensive. It's like, it's very expensive to get one that's, like you said,
yeah.
I'm not going to do a
BS
one. I'm going to go for it.
For sure.
And then my RV. Listen, that's where my money goes now, is into, I get 7 miles per gallon trailer.
Woohoo!
That's it.
Are you diesel or gas?
It's a gas, actually, and it's a Ford engine, and I've had almost no problems with it.
Cool.
Right. I mean, compared to the Sprinter van, the Mercedes almost bankrupted my company. So
see, when I got my Sprinter van, I took it to the dealership for the first time, and I was like, I cried. I was like, I've got to sell this thing. There's no way. But luckily, I had some other friends in town who also had Sprinter vans, and they were like, no. Go take it to a mechanic who's not at the dealership.
Right.
Because it is like half the price. So I did find a couple of really great mechanics. Just here in Nashville.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Because I had one and it was an hour away one way. They were half the price, but even still half the price is, I believe they're like...
For sure.
$3,500 was like the cheapest I ever
got. Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh, it's crazy. And I had on my list, because every time I was around you early on, we would go do things and you would tell your manager, you'd be like, hey, have them send them some boudin. Who is sending the boudin? And who makes I never asked because I'm like, who is she sending? Is she sending sausage people?
Have I sent you boudin?
No.
Okay.
But, oh yeah.
I'm surprised because that's how I make my friends.
No, I know. And every time we'd go, when someone did something nice,
that's how I made my friends. I still do it. Oh, I'm guilty. So my mom and dad started a business. Was it the year that I was born? It was the year that I was born. I'll give you the quick backstory.
No.
So it's called Billy's Boudin. It's in South Louisiana. And my sister was 2 years old. I was just born. My dad was an engineer at a plant in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And he told my mom that he took 2 weeks off to help with me. And so she's like, great. So she has me. And the 2 weeks goes by. And she's like, okay, so like, when are you going back to work? And he's like, actually, I lied to you. I quit my job.
Great.
And so, it's Jeez. Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they had like some rental properties and stuff and whatever. And so they just did a few things to get by at that time. But my dad found a convenience store to rent. And because he wanted to be his own boss, he's very German, very hard-headed, and he found his convenience store, rented it, and started running it, and quickly realized this is not going to work out, having people run convenience stores. And so he had a cousin who also had a convenience store, and asked him, his name is Bubba. He said, Bubba, how do you keep the doors open? And he was like, Billy, if it wasn't for the hot box, if it wasn't for boudin in the hot box, then we would have to shut the doors. So my dad said, okay, boudin, that's where the money's at. And so he found a recipe. And then for 2 years, he would go to, I think, two or three different stores and that were like the best around. And he would have strangers come in and try his boudin and the other places. And he did that until, like, he tweaked the recipe and did that consistently until, like, everyone said his was the best. He wouldn't tell them which was which. So that's how we got Billy's Boudin. And we got four stores in South Louisiana in a processing plant. And we sell a lot of boudin.
And your dad is so sweet. I saw him at, I can't remember where we were, like maybe Larry Joe Taylor or something. And he, like, gave me a big old hug and asked how I was doing. And
did he give you a kiss on the cheek?
Well, I was going to say that, but I didn't know if I was
wrong. No, you're fine.
Yeah. But I was like, who's this man kissing me? And he's like, kissing everyone. Hey, baby, how are you? And then he was asking if I was okay, if I needed anything. And like, he is awesome. So
we ain't
but I wanted to know the story about it because I'm like,
yeah,
where is this coming from? And then I did actually look it up once. So that is awesome. And that's like the most Louisiana story I've ever heard in my life. Like, it is so perfect.
Yeah.
Do you get to go home often?
I go home way more now that I have a kid. But my parents, you know, like, they kind of got their store to where they have a lot of employees, but they have people that they trust, and it's, they still have to, you know, work pretty hard on the daily, but they have people that they trust and they can get away. And so I was kind of their excuse for like the last, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years to get away.
Yeah.
And so they would come and see me on the road. And I was just the reason that they could take a little mini vacation every now and then. So we would meet up on the road. So I wasn't really going home much before, but now with the baby, it's,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And even just there this past weekend.
Oh, yeah. Work.
Yeah.
That's the best. I love my mom and dad, and I love going home. And the older I get, the more I enjoy it. I took last weekend off to go home.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. It's very special.
How far are you from?
It's like a 9-10 hour drive.
Same.
Really?
Same. Yeah.
Just long enough to where when I go by myself, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like it's a big day.
Yeah.
And far enough, my mom would always say, by the time I had my mental breakdown, like, I'm already over it by the time she can get to me.
Perfect.
Like, because, like, you know, like, she can't just hop on a plane if you're there in a second and I do miss that. Or, you know, if you have tires or. You just need a dad around to help.
For sure. For sure. I don't care who your man is, how big his face and stuff. Yeah. there's like always a part of you that's like, Dad, what do I do? You know?
Oh, it's always
always gonna call my dad first. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, before we start crying.
Before we start crying. But no, it was like the way that like when I started doing my radio tours, it was like, you know, maybe they wouldn't remember Kylie Fry, but they would remember Boudin Girl. You know, so it was kind of like
you're supposed to have a gift, like really, when especially like
Brett.
I always tell people that way because no one really told me, and I remember going in after somebody and they brought them a gift. I was like, oh my gosh, I need a gift.
Brett.
So then I actually ended up bringing pecans from my family's farm. So I did. That's a similar
cool
thing. And then the very first time I brought a gift, the DJ was like, I'm definitely allergic to nuts. And I was like, she called one crate. And then the next time I brought bottles of whiskey for I can't remember who I was with at the time, but I brought bottles of whiskey. And the first radio interview, the guy was like, oh, I'm the recovering alcoholic.
Oh,
and I'm like, no,
thanks for that.
No, and it was the same option. Do they mail them? Like, they've come frozen or something?
Yeah, so they've gotten, like, really efficient in the last, like, year or two with shipping.
Yeah.
So dry ice, you can even do 2-day.
Wow.
I know.
Great.
I know.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell. Howdy, y'all. It's Bree Bagwell, and I know y'all support the people who support me, so let me tell you about Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Born and raised in Deep Ellum, Texas, Deep Ellum Brewing Company has really made its mark on the beer world. Known for its flagships, Dallas Blonde and Deep Ellum IPA, they put boring beers to shame with a full lineup that's unapologetically not brewed to style. My personal favorite is the Dallas Blonde. It is so easy to drink. I just took it home for the holidays and my whole family was like obsessed with this beer. No joke. They drank it all. Thanks a lot, family. So head over to deepellenbrewing.com to open the beer vault and give your fridge what it deserves. And you'll see why love runs deep for Deep Ellum Brewing Company. Available in Texas and Oklahoma, side effects may include severe happiness. Deep Ellum Brewing Company products are for individuals 21 and older, and we encourage drinking responsibly. Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
When I moved into my house last year, the thing on my list was I have to have like an extra fridge.
Yeah.
So I can keep some.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I have evergreen chili. I mean, that's the same. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. You're so authentically Louisianan. That's not right. But I do want to, I also want to talk about how, because I've done TV show things and. Let's get into that.
Perfect.
But I was so proud. Well, proud of you because your songs are good enough, but also proud that they let you play your own songs on. It was America's Got Talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, because usually they don't play. Like, I never got to play my own stuff. And I was just like, thank goodness they are letting her showcase her songwriting.
Yeah.
And her singing.
Yeah.
And your guitar playing, because you can do all those things. And those shows are so weird. And the last one I did, you know, they gave me a Miranda song and I couldn't change it. I love Miranda. She's like my favorite. But
it's not your song.
It's not my song. My voice didn't sound, you know, Miranda's the best at being Miranda. Yeah. I was not the best at being Miranda. So I was frustrated with that whole, TV's so hard.
It is hard. It is hard. I know. And it's like, you never know when it's going to work in your favor in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe do the opposite. I don't think for either of us it's done. It's been like, you know, I don't know if you regret any of your TV experiences. I don't really regret mine. Like, because even AGT, even though, like, going back for the live shows was a horrible experience. The audition was great. And the audition, like, did what I wanted it to do. I mean, obviously, I didn't, like, go in expecting the show to change my life or anything. But it was like, let's get eyeballs, you know.
Yeah.
And it did that. Also, this was really cool. So I was in Mexico for Casey Donahue's Boots on the Beach when my AGT audition aired. And so it was like, oh, bummer. Like, I can't really have, like, a viewing party, you know. So at the resort, I found a TV, in a common room, and I, invited all the guys, all the other artists, and I was like, listen, this is happening, no pressure, whatever, I didn't expect anyone to show up, and they all did. They all did.
I saw in a picture, you posted a picture of everybody.
Yeah.
I came to watch it. Our scene is so supportive. I would expect nothing.
It's really hard to especially not being from Texas, you can relate to this. It's it takes a really long time to feel accepted, especially the female, I think, in the Texas country music scene. And so there were a couple of moments so far that I have felt that, but it's taken a very long time, and that was the one time that I was okay, maybe I do have a place here,
yeah that
it was cool.
That's so sweet. That makes me feel and I have to remind myself all the time, Adam Hood's from Alabama, Turnpike's from Oklahoma,
for sure,
Reckless Kelly's from Idaho, Vicky Motors, Idaho, so
I guess not. I've probably asked this before, maybe we were drinking, but I've always had this little dream at the back of my mind that maybe me, you, and Caitlin would start a band called what was the name?
Okay.
It was because we're not, none of us
so from in Texas. Okay.
Not the Outlaws. It was something else. Maybe Outsiders or something
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because it's we're all working the scene, which Caitlin is hitting the big time, so we might have to find another thing.
But me and you.
Perfect.
I love that idea.
And I had a great thing.
I know.
Too.
I think you didn't think of this. Okay, think of it and I'll put it in the
I'll think of it.
Recap before this comes out. So I can tell everybody, and maybe by then we've already started our
perfect
thing, Tanis.
Hello.
I felt like that too. And I also, it's so interesting how, when you started coming to Texas, there was this, 10 to 1, but it was 10 people are oh my gosh, this girl's amazing, you're gonna love her, I'm so excited. But then every once in a while someone would be oh, are you worried there's another girl in Texas? I'm like,
no.
There's so much room for more females.
Yeah.
And now there are more than ever, which is amazing. But I was no, I need a friend and a buddy and somebody that gets what I'm, we, from day one, I feel like we connected, but it was never been weird. But I was there was always one person that would kept being, oh, are you worried?
And no, absolutely not.
This is so
what it is with women. It's just such a thing where I don't know. It's you don't feel it, but then maybe someone else will say it. It's well, should I be?
Should I be feeling like this?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It's so silly. And
And it's weird. Because I feel like it's easier for guys because there is so much room. It's oh, if you're a guy and heard your music, there's a spot for you. Welcome.
Right.
you know, but as a female, and I, you know, I try not to get on my soapbox about it, but it is a thing. And so it's hard not to talk about.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or I've had managers tell me, I can't manage you because I already have a girl.
Yeah.
That's happened to me three or four times. So
really?
That's strange.
Yeah.
I think do you say that to men? I can imagine you already have a guy.
Yeah.
So if there is only limited spots, or radio's definitely changed, but it was a fact that there was one female song to every two males. So that was an actual spot. So you and I are competing against, Wayne Wilson or whatever for that spot.
Sure.
So
sure.
But I think that has also shifted. I feel it's gotten a lot better. You and I are both pretty stressful together.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's two girls. I think it's me and you, and then I think a guy.
Yeah.
So there's more than one female in a festival. That used to never happen, and that happens. I feel like it happens all the time now.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
What do you have coming up that you can talk about?
So I'm going to drop an EP October 10th.
What? Right before I see you.
Yes. Yes. So that weekend will be release weekend. So hopefully I'll have, some fun things going on. We've had a couple plans in the works. But so I'm dropping an EP. And then I am trying to figure out my plans to go in the studio soon.
Okay.
It's been a year. It's been a really, really great year. Mike. boot is that's it.
Girl, that's how we get those subscribers. Did y'all see Kylie Pride thing on OnlyFans?
I have a feet finder. I didn't know this until recently, but I play barefoot.
Oh no, I know, and you do it a lot, and I'm like, girl, you're putting those.
Listen, if it sells,
yeah. At this point, we should both take off our shoes because
I mean,
you're about to put out a record. I need another record.
Girl, I will take off my shoes.
So someone made you. You're on me. I know, like someone has a bunch of your feet.
Guess so. Yeah. Because someone was telling me the other day about Feet Finder. I was like, that's not a thing. They're like, oh yeah, it's a thing. I bet you have one. It's like, I don't have one. I would never make that for myself. They're like, oh no, other people make these.
Right. It's not up to you.
I have a Feet Finder.
Okay. Yes. But you don't make any money off it. They just put your feet.
Well, that was the thing. I'm like, I might as well be with someone in the office.
Well, you have nice feet. I think we've talked about this. I think you have nice feet. And I think I have kind of nice feet, too. So, like, I'm not above it. Everything's gotten so expensive. I mean, I was just complaining about Southwest today because it's like that used to be our one thing that we could afford to do music because at least Southwest was cheap. And it's, like, expensive now. And hotels are expensive now, which is another reason the RV has been a lifesaver. But, okay, sorry, we were talking about I don't remember what we were even talking about. Your new Where did you record your EP?
Oh, so I was very pregnant. And I recorded it here in Nashville. So, you know, we did a big studio, like one day tracking.
That's how I did mine too.
Yeah.
It's just so fun.
Yeah. It's like the energy and like, I always get so nervous for tracking days because it's like, there's so much money going into it. There's like, and it's, you only have
that day.
And it's like, hopefully, which you don't really get keeper vocals that day. So it's like, the pressure's a little bit off of me, but also at the same time, like, I gotta like be in tune with my gut. And like, is this the vibe that I'm wanting? Like, what, you know? So, because once you move on to the next song, then that's it.
Right.
And so, but I get so, so nervous. You can ask Joe. No one should be around me.
So
like see the day before tracking day because I get so anxious.
Yeah, but that's very interesting. I do too. But then every time I go, the musicians here always blow me away
killer,
so much.
Killer. And every time I do it, and I'm like, this is so much fun. And so do this more often. And Joe's just rolls his eyes.
He has tens of thousands of dollars. That's why.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. We just cut out Smokestack.
Have you heard of Smokestack?
Yeah. It was amazing. I've never been there. It was one of my favorite studios here, but we've also done Sound Emporium. There's just so many great studios. And I think that's the way that I recommend to do it is like get it all in one day. It's actually cheaper that way, even though it's so expensive.
Yeah.
You get all the best players, you get the best studios, and then you leave with you're so excited about the project. But I would love to hear if you want to do this because like Paul's band, sometimes they'll go take a couple weeks and just go to a studio and
that's a dream.
Wouldn't that be so nice?
I think that's the dream.
Me too.
Yes. For them, I think it makes a whole lot more sense because they are a band.
Right.
And
they all play the instruments.
Yes. And so it's not, you're not paying like
day rate.
Yes. But I mean, like, you know, if like the budget were endless, then
right,
why wouldn't you do that?
Just go and then you wake up and then you could maybe write something and record it that day. I mean, like that would be.
Frank said Parker did that on this last project. So they went and recorded in New York and he said, one of the songs he like wrote in the studio, like one of the days, and they recorded it.
I know.
He's like, that. It's the only time he's ever seen that happen.
I've never seen that happen. Like with our friends, really. That's
either
incredible.
But I think but his process is like so different than anyone else's that I've ever seen. So I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You write a lot here. Do you have a publishing deal right now? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I write for Frank Liddell at Cornell.
Oh, that's the Frank you were talking about.
Yeah.
Nobody but Frank Liddell.
Yeah.
I love that man.
I love him too. He terrifies me. He makes me so nervous and I think
he's just a little intimidating.
Yeah, he's intimidating. Thank you.
No, he is.
I mean, fitting for validity.
No, you're okay. You're welcome.
Yeah. No, and I tell him that all the time.
Right?
And he always gets so mad at me because he's like, if you would see you know, how other people talk to me and I'm whatever. And
right.
I'm just like, whatever. I literally like have had a playlist on my phone of stuff that you've produced since I was like a kid, because I've been such a fan for so
giant fan.
Yes.
And he's such a good finder of songs. I mean, I think about like this season for Leanne and how the story one time that he told me, he's like, I found the song that's going to make you want to record music again. Like, he's so good at songs and
so good.
You know.
He sent me this one song that like, probably once a month, it'll pop into my head. He sent it to me like 3 or 4 years ago. And not a country song, but it's very out of the box, but so catchy and so deep. And I find myself thinking about that song all the time. And I'm like, well, shoot, I guess I'm quit it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I love people like that, because
yeah.
they have a knack for, and there's so much noise right now. And they're so, I didn't even want to listen to music a lot of the times, because it's so overwhelming. I listen to a lot of podcasts or whatever.
Same.
And if you have someone that you trust, like Rachel Loy will do that. She'll send a song and I'm like, okay, I know this is going to be important. I know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to make an impression.
Yeah.
Frank is that person. And the day I met Frank, he was trying to get a couch up to the second floor of Carnival.
Yeah.
And he was so frustrated. And I was like, I'm brave. And I was like, I think now's not the time.
Right.
You know, like, he was like, this couch, cuss words. And like, it was awesome. But I'm so proud of you for, like, that's, to be a writer at Carnival is a big deal. But a lot of people tell me they love writing with you. Like, that you're incredible.
Thank you.
Like, you
thank
are an incredible writer.
Thank
like,
you.
Almost all the people that I talk to about you are like, she's such a good writer. She's such a good writer.
Thanks for saying that. I feel like such an imposter, like, especially at Carnival, because everyone is so great. And it's not just like the, oh, you have a bunch of hits. It's like, no, like, you're a writer. And it's hard because, like, I don't know. It's just the caliber is like on a whole other level at Carnival. And it's like, it's hard to feel like I belong there. You know what I mean? And so, but it is inspiring, because I'm like, okay, well, we got to get better here. And I've had an interesting time at Carnival so far. Like, I played last night Bobby's. We did a Carnival takeover and Frank introduced me. And he said, you know, I met this girl years ago, and she sat down and played a song for me, and it was badass, and it was just so her, and she knew who she was. And then I signed her, and then she wanted everyone else to tell her who she was, and now she had a kid, and she decided she wanted to be herself again. So here's Kylie Fine. Right. It was just like, if so on point, like, you know, it's, yeah.
I go through that's a natural progression of artists, and it's a natural progression of writers. I mean, I feel like I just put out the EP or the album a couple years ago that is the most authentically myself. It took me a long time to get there.
Yeah.
And then I lost it a little bit. And then I had to write beer songs because I have to be the girl on the show.
Sure.
And then I have to, you know, then we have to have tempo because we're, and then
ooh,
we have,
let's talk about this. Like,
yeah.
How do you find that balance of like, okay, like, cause I'm in that space right now where I'm like, okay, I want to get back in the studio. And
right.
I have just been in a headspace. I haven't been touring. I've been raising a baby and I've played some shows, but like not a ton. And I'm in a really different spot than I've been in for the last 5 years. And I've just been focusing on writing songs and losing weight, basically. And so, you know, I, like, my heart is going in a more, like, artistic, like, I've processed sort of, the, like, getting pregnant and, like, everything that I had planned for my life
right.
just kind of, like, flipped on its head. And so I've really processed that through songs. And it's not a very commercial-leaning project that is presenting itself, which I'm okay with, but also at the same time, now I have a mouth to feed and I have family and, you know, and we do have to sell beer. And so, like, what is...
Okay, yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that is like a lot. That's like a whole...
It's a lot.
And what I think as artist and writer are, like, two different, you have to be two different people basically, like to be like the staff, not, you don't have to, but it feels like
going on that.
Okay. Well, as a staff writer, that's a different person than as an artist, right? Because
yeah.
When I was at Sony, I was like trying to write the commercial hit. And as an artist, I'm trying to be true to myself. Like those are maybe different.
I haven't had that because Carnival is completely opposite of
right.
Any, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I will play songs for Frank and he's like, yeah, that sounds great. He's like, but I don't hear you. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm singing a song. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, I just really feel like you just need to be more yourself. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like such a golden retriever. I'm like, throw the ball, let me go get it, and clap for me.
You know? But it's also crazy that the publisher wants you to
it is be crazy.
Yourself.
It like is crazy. It will definitely send you to therapy.
Yeah, no, for sure. And what I think that is beautiful about that, which reminds me of Rachel Loy, like if you put out a record of all of those songs of you processing everything that you went through,
yeah,
like I will be first in line for that because Rachel Loy sent me back. We were going to the studio to make our first record together. She sent me, we canceled because she goes, these songs are not what you, like, what does Brie Bagel want to say right now at this point in her life?
Yeah.
No one has ever asked me that.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, I'm free to tell people. And then I feel like once I did that, people were like, this is your best work yet. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, but I didn't think any of these songs were about anybody except for myself.
Yeah.
But they are about other people, but they don't feel like they're about other people.
I've learned the more detailed you can be, the more people will find themselves in it. It's
that's words. So bizarre.
It's so backwards. But like for me, if I think back to like my favorite songs that I grew up on, like the story is so vivid. Like country music used
right.
to like be full of just like imagery and color, and the more you can like be specific to like the story and like what's going on, I feel like people can like put themselves in the picture and then like relate to it however they want to. But it's hard because it's like, oh well, let's make this relatable, and you think, well, the more generic we can make right. this, the more relatable it will be. And I've found that to be opposite, which is very hard.
That's so wild. Like I've never, I mean, I guess when we talk about it, we are processing it out loud, but that's so true.
It's weird. I learned that with Horses in Heaven.
Yeah.
Because I never thought that I would put that song out. And like, I played it a couple like writer's rounds.
I would kill you if you didn't.
Oh my God. Out. Like now, like hindsight, like hello, of course. But I was like, it's so my story.
Right.
Like, who else is going to relate to this?
But I've just been even thinking about you singing else.
Thanks.
It's so great. But that shows, but that's how the music business is. This morning, just to, you know, this morning we went and saw some people at Americana Fest last night.
Yeah.
And I was awake because I couldn't sleep. And I was telling Kyle on the way here, I was like, I don't belong here. Like that's, these people were so good that I feel like that's all of us second guessing ourselves at all times. And that's partly why I wanted like to make this podcast is because people need to hear that. We're second guessing ourselves, not because we need to be patted on the back, but just you're not alone when you feel like that.
Yeah.
And I'm over here like, I think you hung the moon. I told John Dixon the other day that you were my favorite show ever at Music Fest. Like you were, that show was so good. And I looked over and Paul Eason was crying. I was like, I know she's magical. She's like a magical, I'm gonna cry. She's a magical singer, a magical writer, a magical person. And you should not feel like that.
Thanks.
And neither should I.
Neither should you.
But here we are.
Neither should you. But I think, as unfortunate as it is, I think that thing that tells us, I don't belong here, I'm not good enough, is the thing that's like, makes our art what it is, because it's, we're always striving to be better.
Yeah.
And seeing the beauty in what everyone else is doing. And, you know, it would just kind of be boring if you're like, I'm the shit. Like,
yeah,
listen to me. Look at what I can do.
But there are people that are like that, and they seem to do.
I know, Brie.
It seems to feel like I'm amazing.
I know. I'm jealous of it.
I'm so jealous of it. But I'm a fan when I know. Like they are same thing. And I, whatever. And I love you to death.
We
do a good job. Are you high?
Oh, I thought he was crying.
Just, yeah, I didn't say that you are. It makes for a
bad podcast. I was crying. He's cried three times. Just this
I'm
one.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Now. I'm so excited. And we're going to get to play together very soon. And we need to write a song together.
We do.
Got to do that at some point.
Yes.
Maybe even if it's like I send you a voice. Oh,
perfect. There's someone that you work with. I've been telling you this for a while.
Tori.
Yes. The three of us need to get together in a room. I'll send you a song that we wrote about a month ago, but she's phenomenal. She's one of the best writers I've ever written with in town, and
I was so mad at her. She's on my PR team, which my PR team, they work with Martin Guitar, so that's why we're coming to you from the beautiful Martin Guitar room. But Tori is just this amazing person that is on my PR team, and for years, and all of a sudden, Kai Fry was like, you gotta write with Tori. I'm like, what Tori? Like, my Tori? Like, she's incredible. So then she put out her own stuff, and I was listening on Spotify, and I was just texting her. I was like, she's incredible.
She's incredible.
And I don't know how she day jobs, writes, puts out her own stuff. Like, she is so great. So we should definitely set that up. She's out of town this week, so we're mad at you, Tori, for that, but that's okay. But we'll, next time I hear, we'll set it up.
We'll do it.
Because she'll just take off. She can just take off.
She's technically on the clock.
She's on the clock.
With you.
Yeah, she's with me. Well, yeah. She does a million things. I don't know how she does it.
But, yeah.
Thanks for being here with me today.
Thank you for having me. I've been waiting for your podcast for so long. So I was so tickled when you texted.
Yay. Do we miss anything? Whatever. We got it.
If not, we'll do another one.
You should do part two. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Next time I'll wear a hat.
I adore you.
It's just greasy hair day at the pod.